2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Taco Tuesday PGA DFS podcast presented to you by DFSArmy.com. This week we will be headed to the Waste Management Phoenix Open, the largest golfing event in the entire world. Last season, 700,000 people were in attendance at this event. It's one of the craziest events that we'll see all year long. The field is pretty good. So we're going to be diving right into this course here. But first, got to remind you guys, DFSArmy.com. Come check us out. Get access to our research station, which I'll be referencing throughout this pod, and the Domination Station lineup optimizer, along with full access to all the other daily fantasy sports that there are out there, all included in one package. A great deal. DFSArmy.com. And on checkout, use promo code TACO for a lifetime 20% off. So getting right into the field here, we're at TPC Scottsdale in Scottsdale, Arizona, rounding off the West Coast swing to begin the season. Started in Hawaii, went through California, now we're here in Arizona. You've got a lot of guys in the field who will be major factors that are local to the area, thinking of John Rahm, and also Phil Mickelson, Brendan Steele, guys like that. They really like the West Coast the courses, and here at this event you've got a very specific kind of atmosphere that that has about them. It's kind of a wild college party. Lots of really cool stuff. I mean, they have caddy races, all sorts of stuff for the fans to do. It's one of the more probably the best golf event that you could go to just for the sheer spectacle of it. And it pretty much never fails to bring in a pretty strong field. Looking at the course, TPC Scottsdale, you know, a TPC style course, which means that we can play it on the crap that is known as the Golf Club 2019. And TPC courses, you know, they're not all entirely similar, but they have some similar sort of attributes to them. You know, your angled greenside areas and sloped fairways, and this course is really, really not penal at all. The stat that sticks out with it the most, that really jumps off the page, is driving distance. It's fourth overall in all the courses we played at over the last 3 years, but upon further inspection, those three courses, the only three to average a longer driving distance than Phoenix Open's 298 yards, which is 11 yards longer than a tour average for an event. But those three courses are Carnoustie, which was the British Open course, Firestone, which is now debunked. They just had their last event last season at the WGC there in Ohio. And then Glen Abbey, which they almost didn't play at last year, and they have no plans to play there again as of right now in for the Canadian Open. So really, when you think about it, of all active courses, this has the number one average driving distance. That's over courses like Super Bombers courses, like the WGC Mexico course, Chapultepec. I don't know. I'm really bad at that. that course, East Lake, of course, everyone bombs it out there. Erin Hills, TPC Summerlin, Quail Hollow. You know, the true bombers courses, even over both the Torrey Pines North course from last week, which is sort of the epitome of a scorer's course. And this isn't necessarily a scorer's course. They average about a half stroke under par, which is about pretty average. It's a 7,260 yard par 71, so nothing really sticks out as far as, you know, like the stimp on the greens, the the scores, the fantasy points put up. There aren't very many double bogeys, because like I said, this course is very non-penal. There's no water in play whatsoever, and you're pretty much just free to let it fly. But I think that the real factor that kicks in here, the real stat that I'm looking at is strokes gained approach. I think ball striking is going to be absolutely essential. You know, when you free yourself up to drive it out there, yeah, the longer bombers are going to benefit from that. But I don't think, I think the lack of scrambling, the lack of like really bad scrambling, will, you know, put more of an emphasis on the approach game. You know, when you've got easy, or when you've got non-penal courses like this, you always want to attack that second shot because you get such a huge boost. And I know it's important at every tournament, but here especially, this is one of the areas where, you know, we've seen guys who specialize in approach, like Hideki Matsuyama, like Webb Simpson. They've killed it here historically. And, you know, that's something that I'm going to be paying a lot more attention to than, you know, I do for a normal course. I want to see people with really good strokes gained approach heading into the event, and you can of course check that. You can see the last 20 rounds right in a row if you go to the strokes gained section of the research station. And I did update one thing this week. I really revamped a lot of the hole by hole stats. I tried to get some really good samples there, and you'll notice just a few changes here. You know, you look at each type of hole, you know, short par threes, long par threes, etc. You get to see DraftKings and FanDuel scoring right next to each other, along with sample sizes included for each split. So you can, you know, if someone's popping off the page, you can double check their samples within each given split. So, you know, things don't get thrown off too much, or, you know, if someone's really popping and you look and you see, well, they've actually got like, you know, 50 to 100 holes play, it might be somewhat, you know, something to look into there. But just another way for you to look at the data a little more in depth. And then I added strokes gained. And what that is it doesn't really have much to do with the strokes gained stat overall. It's not the exact algorithm of like strokes gained approach. It's strokes gained to the field for a given hole. And it goes up against what the field did on that hole on average through all the rounds. So each time, you know, that each time you go through a person's hole that they played, compare it to every other time that someone played that hole, and, you know, it has an average score, of course, and so you compare that to the average score, so you can see whether or not they gain or lose strokes to the field average. And it does a really good job of telling the story of, you know, who does well at what certain places. You don't get penalized too much for playing like the U.S. Open and all that. So we take the average score here historically as a base, and then we add the strokes gained stats based on how many of each hole type there are at the course, and that gives you the projected score for each player. So you can see, you know, who rates out well in the projected score. It was expected to just put up the lowest score, and you can also see, you know, some guys might have a similar score, scoring projection, but, you know, one might have a lot more fantasy points projected than others, and it's just due to them bogeying and birdieing a lot more than, you know, another player that might just par a whole lot, or really attacking the eagles on the par fives compared to just, you know, gaining strokes, hitting twos on par threes. So just some more ways to look at it there, and ways to easily tell if the projected course score or fantasy points, the numbers are legitimate or not. Just based on the sample sizes, you know, you got some guys that really pop up on there that have had a really small sample size, but it's starting to creep up there as the season goes along. Guys like Sungjae Im, and it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, these guys hold up throughout the course of the season. So, you know, going back to the hole types here, you've got three par fives that are really medium-ish in length, right around like 560 or so. So not too long, not too short. And then, like I said, your long par fives, medium length par fives, only the one, there's only the one short par four. And, it's not only is it under 400 yards, it's under 350 yards. It's almost drivable for some people. It's a very slopey golf course. Really high slope rating. I think it's about 140 or so. And, it kind of brings the drive or the drivable green in play at this hole. But, we've seen some courses recently, like the Career Builder, that had a ton of those short par fours. Only one on the course isn't going to, it's going to be an eagle opportunity. We've been on these par 72s and only having three par fives, even though they're pretty easy. Added eagle opportunities are always a nice little bonus. And then, par threes are just whatever, some short ones, some long ones. No crazy long ones like we've seen over the last few weeks. Overall with this course, I would definitely put it in, a top five bombers courses on tour, top three probably. I don't really like to target that angle too much, but if you can hit it long off the tee this week, it's just a bonus because you're not really going to get punished otherwise. And guys also gain strokes around the green a lot, or guys that have been putting well on the POA lately, we're switching to Bermuda, so you can maybe fade those guys that have been getting done with the short game. This is definitely a ball strikers course, a bombers course, and that's tee to green minus the around the green stuff. Just that ball striking is what we're after this week. Birdie making, fantasy points gained, all that's going to be really good. Greens regulation, especially important. And, I want guys with good recent form, probably more than I would at other tournaments. This is pretty much the culmination of the West Coast swing. You see a lot of guys get really hot just throughout this whole swing. You've got a lot of guys with really good course history, too, that have several top tens in a row or several top tens in their career. And you're going to want to definitely check out those guys a lot. You've got some guys down low also that'll just be really popular because the value's quite insane. So, overall, with it being a stronger field, the pricing, it's a little bit soft. Last week it was pretty fair. I'd say it was pretty darn fair pricing by DraftKings. FanDuel is ridiculous, of course. FanDuel toned it down this week with the crazy pricing a little bit, but the pricing this week is just a little softer on DraftKings with the field being a bit stronger. The low 7Ks have a ton of value plays for you to choose from. So I'd look to there for, or you could even punt down very low. I know last week and a few of the first weeks here, the whole 6-5 and under area has been a complete no-go zone, but there are even some plays down at the very bottom this week that I would not mind playing at all. So you can do some studs and duds. That's definitely in play. You're going to want to get some of the studs up here. And, let's get right into it. Let's talk about these studs here. And, we'll get right into them after a quick word from our sponsors.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.
All right, so hopping right to the top of the board, we've got someone who's definitely been making waves recently with some really good finishes. I'm talking about John Rahm. 11-5 on DraftKings, 12,500 on FanDuel. He's sitting at 7-1 right now, which is not bad. Last week we had him just about as expensive, and he was like 10-1. It had Rose in the field. Rose last week just made so much sense. His ownership got so ridiculously low, down to 10% in the major GPPs, which is just astonishing to me, given what Rose has done. Pretty much the new clubs just scared everyone off, but I think I'd made the point that, maybe those clubs would help him, and so far it seems like it. you really put on a show. Short game's amazing. The dude is just, he is just cash money. And we got another cash money guy in this field that I'm going to talk about here real soon. And I'm about as confident in him this week. But, Rose just rated out so highly in pretty much every category we're looking at last week, especially the longer term stuff, because he's just so, he just is always a top 10 threat every single week. It's just never, ever surprising to see him up there on the leaderboard. He's pretty much a staple, so glad for Rose there. Good to see a lot of the older guys getting some victories in this 2019 season. We've seen Kuchar win twice already. Charles Howell won, finally, Good to see the vets get it before these young guys start flexing super hard. So anyway here, John Rahm up top, the three straight top eight finishes coming in. Of course, the eighth was at Tournament of Champions, only 32 people in the field. That wasn't actually too great. He'd been kind of playing sporadically, playing over in Europe off and on, like he does, with him being European and all. And he always crushes it over there. Did pretty well in Abu Dhabi, and then, that course way longer than this one. And over the last 2 weeks, in full 156-person fields, fifth at the Farmers, sixth at the Desert Classic, formerly the Career Builder. He's not rating out super well in anything that looks, at sort of medium-term form, kind of longer-term form. Over the last, half year, three-fourths of a year or so, he's struggled up and down a bit there, definitely towards the playoffs. He had some really bad performances, but it seems like it's mainly on the big stages and at the small no-cut events where he kind of lets you down. And, people like to target him at the no-cut events because of what he does, which is put up a lot of fantasy points for the price. But, now that the price is as high as he can get, his fantasy point numbers aren't quite as impressive as some guys around him here. But you can't deny the form coming in. He's from Arizona himself, so he's got that going for him. Three times he's teed it up here. All top 16 finishes. He debuted with a fifth back in 2015 that really put him on the board to begin with. So, Rahm, you're going to have to pay up a lot for him, especially, on both sites, really. 11.5 is a lot on DraftKings. It's almost Dustin Johnson money. So he's not going to have the most ownership despite the form and all that, but if you can afford him, go for him. I was kind of underweight on him last week, and that kind of hurt, but Rahm is just, his top 10 rate is pretty darn good. It's really just the guy I'm really itching to talk about here, Justin Thomas, up top. That really just kind of makes him look, he just overshadows him a little bit statistically. In the fantasy scoring projections, he rates out number one in everything, just by quite a bit. His projected score is like almost half a stroke better than Finau, who rates out number two there. And Finau will be an interesting one to talk about. We'll get to him in a little bit, but for JT, he's just so consistent. You look at the go look at the field rank splits, and you can see from the consistency tab, obviously some of the low numbers are going to be from people with incredibly small sample sizes, Freddie Jakobsen, who's had two measured rounds. But if you take away those guys, it's Justin Thomas, who's far and away the most consistent week to week golfer, and he's just consistently good. It's his approach game, long-term approach, short-term approach, really, even. Just terrific in that regard. I always really like Justin Thomas. He's someone that I, put up there a lot, all the time, and he just always gains strokes approach pretty much every single round. He's had five straight rounds of not only gaining an approach, but gaining at least 0.7 strokes approach in a row. Most recently, he gained 2.5. And that's just a consistent thing. That's been happening for a couple seasons now. That's why Justin Thomas has really leaped up there and taken the world number one spot there for a bit. His par 4 scoring, too. It used to be a struggle of his. He used to only be able to hit the par 5s and he used to be quite a volatile golfer. But he's turned around his ways completely now, and he's just insanely consistent. And, you know, he's just everything I'm looking for this week. Rates out really well. I just like him a lot. It has everything I'm looking for. I don't know what else to say about him here. You know, he made 93% of his cuts last year over 21 events. I mean, just really good stuff. Go down to Hideki Matsuyama. He's $10,700 on DraftKings, 11.8 on FanDuel. And, you know, that's what he's usually priced on FanDuel, because he's always very, very overpriced over there. But he's definitely appropriately priced this week. This is a tournament that he has crushed. And speaking of crushed, a year ago this time, he crushed all of our hearts. He's over 30% owned, 40%, 50% in some contests. Because his course history is pretty much as follows going in. Fourth, second, win. Going for the three-peat. But like everybody in the last calendar year, if you go for a three-peat, you get your ass handed to you. Now, would this be a three-peat if he wins? Because he withdrew last year in the second round with, I believe, it was a wrist injury. He's since gotten over it, but you know, it thrown a little inconsistency in his game, kind of shook him up for a little bit there. Hasn't been playing quite as much since. And, you know, he came into this event, I mean, he was not only the chalk for that course history, but if you remember this time last year, he had like 5 wins in the swing season, be it in Japan or just on tour, WGC events. He was just on fire. And his approach stats are, they're pretty much what they are now. Right now, they are smoking hot. You can just go to the strokes gain tab, go to Hideki Matsuyama. Man, there's just that stretch there two tournaments ago. Every single round, he gained over like 2.3 strokes. It was insane. And I know he lost strokes in his most recent round, but you know, look back any split you want, he's just consistently gaining them. And that's his MO, and that's kind of what I'm going for here. So, you know, Thomas and Matsuyama, that's my core up top, definitely. I don't care for Zonder. I don't care that he's won some no-cut events coming into this event. I will fade him at $10,100. He's losing some of his odds as well. He's kind of drifting away, as where Matsuyama's drifted from 12 to 11 to 1 now. And yeah, he just third last week at the Farmers, looked incredible. Yeah, Matsuyama gonna once again be the chalk. We're all once again just going to get our heart broken. No, I'm just kidding. Most likely he's just going to, I just feel like he's going to crush again. The withdrawal was, you know, random variance. You can you don't have to worry about that. That's in the past, sort of like Koepka's injury. Now that's in the past. You know, things are looking very bright, and that approach game is just rock solid over every split. He's just so good. So skipping past Xander, because Zonder, I'm just not really huge on him this week. Gary Woodland, $9,900 on DraftKings, but expensive over on FanDuel, 11.3. Defending champion here at this tournament after a miscut in 2017. Been in really good form here. Five top tens in his last 7 events. Only one of them, the runner up at the Tournament of Champions, was at a really small field. And, you know, that was still really impressive for how strong of a field that was for him to finish runner up there. Did follow it up with a missed cut at the Sony Open, but I kind of forgive some people who missed the cut at the Sony Open. I just the first event of the year, you know? I mean, and even the Desert Classic, I'm kind of forgiving of that, but he didn't play that. But yeah, I like guys who did well last week at the Farmers going into this week. I really think that that's a good little parlay you can have going on here. I see a lot of guys have success in both of those events. So I rates out 4th in the fantasy scoring projected. And, you know, he's always been known to strike the ball. That's always been his MO. Not very good at the short game. Very good at the off-the-tee approach game. That's what we're looking for. So I was not on Gary last week. Kind of came back to bite me. But, you know, that one little miscut shake me up there. But definitely back on Woodland. On DraftKings, at least. On FanDuel, he'll be a contrarian play, that's for sure. Webb Simpson, $9,700. And we're going to talk about Simpson and then Finau and then Fowler here to finish out the free part of this podcast before we go in for a deep dive with our VIP members. And of course, if you want to join us, VIP members, get access to the Research Station, Domination Station, Lineup Optimizer, DFSArmy.com, promo code TACO. Check us out. Access to content for all daily fantasy sports. Come talk to our coaches. We've got a wide variety of expertise that you will appreciate for such a low cost. So DFSArmy.com, promo code TACO. Yeah, so real quick here, Webb Simpson and Tony Finau, Ricky Fowler. These guys right now really high, all around 20 to 1. Finau's kind of drifted to 19 to 1. Thing about Finau is he, sort of like Xander last week, coming into here with three straight missed cuts. Not looking good for Mr. Tony Finau. He's he's a bomber, definitely, but he's accuracy has always gone to the wayside with him, so he's someone you wanna target here, you know. Rates second in the fantasy scoring projections, and he always gains a ton of birdies. And he's Tony Finau. He's just incredibly consistent, 85% of his cuts made. And just recently he's been on quite the tear. Over his last 25, or over the last 25 events played, he's played 13 of them, averaging an 85% field rank split, which is the best of anyone in the field, except for Lucas Glover. But we'll talk about him in our deep dive. Okay, I already mentioned him. I'll throw this into the free part because I'll talk about him right after Webb Simpson. He's going to matter a lot this slate. He might be one of the highest owned, if not the highest owned guy. So I'll throw that in there. But Tony Finau, three missed cuts a row. You know, if you're a course history guy, then go for it. I'll definitely play Tony Finau because I kind of always play him. Just a really good, safe play there. And the price is pretty good on both sides for him. And, in GPP, I just hope the missed cuts knock his ownership down because this should be a place where he does well, you know. And then Webb Simpson. I have not talked about him yet. Yep, Webb Simpson missed the cut here last year alongside Matsuyama. He was like my second highest owned guy. I mean, this was a horrible event for me last season. And Webb Simpson does that. He's just so good. And then he doesn't just perform poorly. He like tears your heart out. He will finish top 10 at an event for like 5, 6, 7 straight years. And then when you decide to go in on him, he will miss the cut tragically. But I'll be damned if he hasn't been just amazing. Over the last 15 events played, he's played in 5, 90% adjusted field rank. Look at the last year, and he's played in 23 events, and 77% adjusted field rank, along with the 83% made cut rate. The only thing is he's not long off the tee like everyone else I've mentioned here. Everyone 9K and above, pretty much, except for Kuchar and Simpson, hit the ball over 300 yards, but we don't really care. Webb Simpson has just been in incredible form lately. Let's go to the field rank tracker here and just read off his field rank. So for anyone that doesn't know what that is, field rank is just what percentage of the field you finish in. If you come in first, you're 100%. If you're last, you're 0%. And if you finish right dead in the middle, 50%. Just helps with the widely varying field sizes that we've been going through over the course of the offseason, the playoffs, and all that. So just looking at percentages here, here's Webb Simpson's form coming in. Starting by most recent, 77%, 99%, 89%, 90%, 93%, 49% at the Dell Technologies Championship, which we'll never have to do again, I guess, so cool. 76%, 99%, 88%, 67%, 93%, 70%. This is really good. And it just kind of goes on like that. He had like 3 or 4 bummer performances last season, and they were like really bad. And other than that, it's all just like top 25 finishes, top 10 finishes, the win, everything. I mean, he's just so good week to week. He's just like, Julio this year, and he was just putting up 27 fantasy points every week. He'll have that week where he scores 1 and he'll crush you, but for the most part, the dude is just a baller. And he's also got really good course history here. He had four straight top 15 finishes, leading up to a second in 2017 before his miscut here last year. So, he's a guy that I'll be on. I don't know about cash. Should be a cash game play, but I don't know. Just a little short for me off the tee to throw him in cash, and I probably prefer to go another route there. But he's a guy I really like putting in my lineups this week. And Ricky Fowler, he's got a really good form going on here at this event. It seems to, him and guys like him and Rahm, your partier kind of guys, they know how to get down. These are just great events for those kind of dudes on tour. So, keep that in mind. Ricky Fowler, 11th, 4th, and 2nd here in the last 3 years. Just barely made the cut. And we made the cut last week and just crapped out a T66. Just nothing special there. But he's still very underpriced on DraftKings. Not on FanDuel, which is weird because all last season it was the exact opposite of that. But underpriced over there on DraftKings, or at least fairly priced for who he's around in that range. So, like I said, before I kick this off to the VIP members, I need to go down there to $7,200 and talk about Lucas Glover. His course history here is nothing too shabby. He's made cuts, but hasn't really put up top 30 finishes or anything. It's his form coming in. It's ridiculous right now. Since hopping on the web.com tour for a little bit after some incidents that we've kind of harked on a little too much in the show, I'm starting to forgive him for. He's been very good to me. He goes on the web.com tour, crushes it there, and then just immediately goes bananas and on the PGA Tour during the swing season, even since we last saw him. Five straight finishes, all 17th or better, and just killing it, just hitting the ball. So pure, 92% field rank, just to put that in perspective. Off the tee approach, just destroying those categories. And even gaining strokes putting, which, if you haven't been playing golf very long, if you've been playing golf for a few years, you know that Lucas Glover is like, he used to be the worst putter, ever. Like, the worst on tour, and it wasn't even close. Like, he would throw stat models off because he was so good tee to green and just god awful at putting. He's even gaining strokes putting right now. So, I think he's gonna be insanely popular because of this. If you just look at the game logs that DraftKings has right now, it's just the perfect split to show. I mean, they started like the Safeway Open, and that's when he came back on tour. So right now he's sitting at 5 for 5 straight made cuts with a billion fantasy points per event played. And Glover, before hopping out of the league for a little bit, if you go back a year or two or three, crazy consistent, honestly, just really, really good at making cuts, because he gets in trouble if he doesn't. That'll do it for free section of this podcast. You're checking us out on YouTube or something, be sure to check us out dfsarmy.com if you want to check out a deep dive into this podcast. And if you want to get your hands on the research station, there's a seriously in-depth tool that has everything you need to break down the golf slate in new and innovative ways that other people just don't have access to. And I try to create stats that no one else has. That's sort of the thing for the research station, and you can come get access to it at dfsarmy.com, and it includes access to every other daily fantasy sport. So again, what are you waiting for? It's a fantastic deal. Check us out, dfsarmy.com, and promo code TACO will support the pod and get you a lifetime 20% off discount. dfsarmy.com. Join the army. I'll see you VIPs in a sec.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly daily player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer, offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.